Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you because of this session of teaching that you have answered our request and you have poured your spirit upon my lips in expression and you have poured your spirit upon the hearts of the hearers in understanding. That these two will unite, Lord, and produce tangible and great results in the lives of everybody present here today and who might be listening to this on any kind of medium. But Lord, you will cause them to prosper whichever way they are hearing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Okay, now today I want to just continue what we have been discussing in the last few weeks. We've been talking about the power of faith, as you well understand. And some of the most important things we have said so far, I will review a bit of it, not as in reviewing, but as in connecting to where we are going for today. All right, so, well, before I just start reviewing so that I don't get carried away too much, I'd like to take a few texts of the scriptures and then we'll read those ones and then we'll use that to start. Open your Bibles with me, if you have it there, to the book of Acts chapter 20. Now, Paul was here about to depart from Ephesus where he had ministered, planted a church and ministered to the church, building them up in the word of God. Now, this was a farewell message that he was giving to them. And I believe that meant that he said the things that are about most important he had to say to them at this point in time. And at the end of the day, he made a statement, which I want to just read, verse 31. He said, "Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." He said, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." I will title today's message, "The Word of His Grace." He said, "which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Notice that word. Paul was living. He said, "I have been admonishing you night and day for 3 years, with a lot of passion, with tears." He now said that the things I was admonishing you about, I believe very strongly, is what is in Acts chapter 32. He said, "There is an inheritance." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That he was telling them that God has proposed and planned them for something. Now, time will not allow me, but if you read Colossians chapter 1, you'll see that Paul was explaining there to the Colossians. He said that there is a mystery that God hid in previous times that has now been revealed to the saints. And he was describing that every purpose that God has is encapsulated in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, he described the hope of the world. He described many things that God will want to do. All right? All those things put together, he said they are in Christ Jesus. And he said that is the mystery that has been hidden before now, that people didn't understand. Now, he was telling them, therefore, that like Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Any good that this earth will experience will come by me." Are you getting the point I'm making? Like we have seen in previous sessions, that everywhere that the word of God has gone, that Christianity has gone, scientific advancements, economic prosperity has followed. That men who laid the foundation for development of science were men that God enlightened their spirits and they were able to bring forth understanding in the realm of science to this earth. And when men applied those things to life, we say we have what we call technology. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That it is not that men designed those things, but men discovered what God has already proposed in his heart. And Paul was explaining that all these good things that God will want to give to people are found in the person of Jesus Christ. And he was saying that each person, now I'm putting many things together because I'm coming to my own point. He was saying in effect that each person has his own portion to play. That God has something he has reserved for each person to do in this life. There is a portion of God's total package, total plan for mankind that he has allocated to each person. Let me give you an example. Let's take Nigeria as an illustration. Let us assume that now God wants to visit Nigeria and bring forth not just economic but social and political revival. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, Nigeria is about to take its place in life. in Africa, in the rest of the world, the giant's place that God has created it to be is about to step into it. Now, let us call that the inheritance of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's God's purpose. Now, each person has a part to play in what God has to do. Do you understand my point? So maybe it is through one man that God is going to reorganize Nigerian police. You understand? And through another man, he's going to bring forth justice to everybody at a very cheap price so that everybody can seek legal redress without begging a policeman who is supposed to be a law enforcement agent. Now, all these things are about to take place. But remember we said in previous time that God doesn't do anything on this earth except through people. That he said that I will send them a savior and a champion, and using that man, I will deliver them. That is, God's purpose is deliverance, but he has to send a savior who is the champion, and through him, God will deliver. That when God wanted to take the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land, he sent them Moses. And when the tenure of Moses ended, he sent them who? Joshua. Now, that is, God's purpose prospered because Moses was present, and God's purpose prospered in the hands of Joshua. Now, all these things put together that God wants to do, each person has his portion, and that person's portion is his own inheritance. I hope you are getting my point. Now, with every labor you labor for God, there is a reward. So that inheritance is not just enjoyment, but it's a responsibility and a reward for faithfulness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, Paul, I believe, had been describing all kinds of things for 3 years. Yet, by the time he was leaving, bear this in mind, the people had not yet experienced the fullness of what he was saying. So he told them, remember, night and day for a period of 3 years, I kept on admonishing each person with tears, that is, with passion, telling them to forsake the former ways they used to live and live in a manner that is pleasing to God so that they can get what God wants to do in their lives. Now he has fulfilled his physical the purpose for his physical presence, and he was about to depart. So he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, this word is able to build you up and give you the inheritance. Now, I said everything I said because you notice the word he used here. He said, the inheritance. Meaning that he has something in mind. These are things they had discussed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It wasn't just something out there that nobody knew about. But these were products of discussions they have had, that they had had in the past. He said, there is the inheritance. I feel like talking about that a bit. Let us assume now that I get a class of young men and young women. They have leaving university. They're about to start working. And this is a good example to use again. They're talking about marriage. So I begin to describe God's counsel for marriage. That is, what's God's purpose? God will bless you with children. Your children will be good children. They will be intelligent. They will make you proud. They will be successful. Many things you cannot achieve in life, you will achieve through them. Are you getting my point? Then he said that your marriage will indeed be blessed. That is, when you are stressed outside, you will rush home. Now, a lot of people have not experienced this. They are used to fathers who don't come home because mothers are terrors to the life of the fathers. And the mothers feel that the reason why they are terrorists is because the fathers are frustrations to their own lives. And young men grow, you know, young women probably grew up under such circumstances. And you see a young girl who has seen the fact that, yes, his father married one wife, quite all right. Or her father married one wife, but she's aware that he has many concubines. And she dreads it in her life that one day she will get married and have to share her husband with everybody else. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But here I come, I'm describing God's purpose. That, listen, your husband will be literally a man of one woman. Now, that's the literal translation of the word, a husband of one wife. It doesn't just mean that a man has one wife, but that he has one woman. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, he has one wife, he doesn't have a girlfriend. He has one wife. When he goes for political meetings, they don't say, thank you, sir, for coming with a Saboyaria, you know what I'm trying to say, with a young girl. They don't. There are no complimentary girls that they give him. He's literally a man of one woman. It's not just that he didn't take a second wife. It's just that, it is that indeed, in all his movements, it's just one person he has eyes for. Now, you describe all of this for the people. I mean, you tell the young man that, you see, you are struggling now, don't worry, go and get married. One was chasing 1,000. Two, we chased 10,000. And they're like, wow. I said, yes. God looked at Abraham, at Adam, and said, it is not good that you stand alone. That is, you are not getting enough results by yourself. Now, I'm going to give you a help that will improve life for you. You know what I'm doing? I am describing God's inheritance in what is called marriage. Do you understand my point? That it is not the customs of their place. No. It is not the custom. I mean, one of my senior colleagues those days, he said when he got married, that after he went home a few times with his wife, that his wife's grandmother called his wife and said, why are you always following your husband about? You should leave him and let him go and meet other women. I'm serious. This was counsel from a woman to her granddaughter. That is, to her, it's absolutely normal. All this gumming of your husband that you are doing won't get the two of you anywhere. Now, that is not God's inheritance. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, you are describing God's purpose for people. Now, after describing it, and I'm about to leave, and I'll tell them, how do you get this thing? That's what I'm coming to hear. Paul was talking to them night and day about the things that God would do in their lives, how they should rearrange their lives to be able to tap into God's blessings. He said, come out from amongst them and be separate, and I will bless you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my children. Touch not the unclean thing. He was telling them this for 3 years. Now he was leaving. So he said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This word is able to build you up and give you this marriage that I have described. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, you are not going to get this marriage by getting the best husband. No, no, no. You are not going to get this kind of inheritance that I call marriage by marrying the best wife primarily. No. But that the word of his grace will deliver to you a good marriage. Now, this is how it works. They came to Abraham, to Mary, and said, you will have a child. And said, how will it be, seeing that I know no man? That is, I have no connection with human beings. He said, don't worry. The word of God that I've given to you, inside it is a man that you need. Inside it is a maternity that will take the delivery. Inside it are the resources that you need to deliver that child safely. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, no word of God is void of power. That is, the ability to produce results. If it is man that you need, don't worry. Inside that word is the man. So, I'm using marriage as an example. So the young man tells you, how do I get this? He said, it is the word of God that will deliver it to you. Now, that is, that word will get you a good husband. Do you understand my point? That word will produce for you a good wife. So he said, I commend you therefore to God and to that word of his grace. Now, I told you that I'm titling today's message, the word of his grace, which is a part of the power of faith that we have been talking about. I'm using this to explain what Paul was saying here, that that word will build you up first and then give you the inheritance that I have described to you all these 3 years. Are you getting my point? You are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, earlier on, before we started this meeting, we took time out and did teachings for our radio broadcast. So I discussed, in fact, it was while I was even speaking there, some of the inspiration came to me. In fact, I remember Kingsley, I told myself that, no, let me stop. This is not the one we are broadcasting. That word is for this particular teaching session. So I want you to fasten your seatbelt and listen, because it's a very, very critical word you're about to hear. All right, so I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. So Paul explained that to them. Now open your Bibles again to one portion of scripture that we have read again and again. That will be John chapter 1. Now verse 14. They were talking about Jesus Christ being the word of God here. He said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John to verse 16. It said, for of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. My emphasis, verse 17. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now notice that. Now, earlier I explained that Paul was explaining in Acts chapter 20. He said that, I have described things to you, what God is about to do. But the way by which you will tap into what God is about to do is by giving attention to the word of his grace. And that word, what it will do is to build you up and then give you an inheritance. Now, let's continue our Bible reading because I have so many things I want to say. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, the last portion we read said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Please notice what I'm saying. Just follow me very closely. I'll make my points when we finish reading all these verses. Now, I was talking about the word of God here. First, it described the fact that God gave people a promise. Now, please follow me closely again. We are talking about faith, all right? The emphasis today is on the power in the word of God. These are things we have been seeing again and again. But Peter said, I have to keep reminding you of them so that you can become established in the truth. Do you understand my point? Now, here, Paul was also explaining here that God had a promise also. Like I was explaining earlier about the promises of God. And I use marriage as an example. That God has a promise. And God gave these people a word. That is, this is the plan I have for your life. He said, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, let's now get down to verse 10. Let me read from verse 9. It says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. It said, for the word of God is living and active and sharper. This is my emphasis, verse 12. The word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. And this word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, please follow me what I'm saying very, very closely. Because I'm trying to tie something together. Number one, God has a purpose. Remember when we were speaking earlier, that's in previous sessions, I explained that in life, that your life is dictated by your imaginations, which are actually products of information. Or we say the ability to pre-play in your mind your expectations. Do you understand my point? And we said that, the Bible said that faith is the substance of the expectation that we have. That is, this is how it comes. That is hope. You have a word given to you, and that word creates an expectation in you if it is mixed by faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if I give you something, information, like I heard that your uncle that died 5 years ago left you $1 million in his will. You have not seen the $1 million, but if you know I know what I'm saying, instantly, you start thinking about moving from where you are staying right now to another place. I've always wanted to buy land in GRA and build a house. You understand my point? Then you say, maybe you didn't have a car before. Instantly, you start thinking, which kind of car do I buy? Now, you have not seen 5 Kobo. But why are you doing all of this? Because the word I told you was mixed with faith in your heart. Therefore, it gave you an expectation. That is the word hope. I said that hope is not a wish. Listen, it's different from the fact that you were wishing in your heart 10 minutes before I came that you will have a car. It's a different matter. Now, even whether you were thinking about a car or house or not, it's not the issue. The issue now is that I told you that 140 million naira is reserved for you. Do you get my point? That's $1 million. Instantly, that begins to create imaginations or expectations in you. That is, this is what I will do. Maybe before you were about to take a visa to go to the US or UK, you now realize that it's not necessary. After all, with 140 million naira, I can do investments here. I can set up businesses that will yield more money for me than I could make working anywhere else. Why? Because I gave you a word. It created for you what? An expectation. Or hope. So you start imagining in your mind. That is, if you are somebody that likes cars, when you get to the car shop, there will be no surprises left for you because you've already planned in your mind, I am a Mercedes-Benz man, as I can afford it, I'm not going for anyone older than this. You've created it. Say, no, if it's not silver, I'm not taking. That is, your imaginations, as soon as you get there, you are going towards a silver E320. If it's not there, you go to another shop. It's propelling you. But why was it like that? Because I told you that you have $1 million. Despite the fact that you haven't seen it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, what is it that you have? I gave you a word. You know what you had? Faith. Faith in my word. Now, that was the same thing that God did to Abraham. Abraham said, I'm a poor man, child-wise. That is, I don't have a child. And God said, no, my will is that you will have plenty of them. Are you getting my point? So, when he was told what the will of God is for his life, instantly, it created a picture in his head. That was a new hope. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, remember we said that the Bible said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And I said, Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That word is able to give to you that thing that we have been discussing about. Now, this is the way it works. John chapter 1 that we're reading, it said the law came by Moses. Let me tell you what the law is again. The law is that God said that Abraham, a father of many nations that I have given you, the law will tell you, doctor said, well, after all these years, this woman has not born a child. So what we'll do is that we'll give her hormonal therapy to rejuvenate her body. Are you getting my point? So there are 10 steps to making Sarah young again. I hope you're following what I'm saying. So we begin to follow the 10 steps to making Sarah young again. Sarah, you know, you have to wake up at 6 in the morning and jog for 30 minutes. Then after that, you will take your natural herbs and take these hormones. And then we'll give you this hormone. And don't forget, the gynecologist said the minimum amount of time a man should meet his wife for her to be able to conceive is also so and so amount of times in this period of time. Abraham, please don't ride bicycle again. It's not good for you. And you keep on going. That is the law that came by Moses. 10 steps to making Sarah fruitful. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You're following me? So they'll tell you this is the way it works. 15 steps to enter into breakthrough. Wake up in the morning very early and greet every man on the way. Treat everybody, young or old, alike. You never can tell where you will meet them. Excuse me. 10 principles of successful businessmen. They always remember to acknowledge those who did good for them yesterday when they do a contract. Now, they give them all these principles. I've seen people say things that you will do properly if you want to succeed in ministry. Have a list of all the people that have been a blessing to you and send them a letter, and you keep on going and on. Listen, those are the laws that came by Moses. And by doing the work of the law, can no man be justified. That is, you can never attain into the place of collecting this inheritance by following the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? They asked them, what must we do? He said, only believe. Believe only. That is, Abraham, you will not die childless. Abraham said, now I understand I will not die childless. They asked him, how do you know? Is Sarah jogging from 6 to 6:30? He said, the one that told me that I won't die childless said nothing about jogging. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. That is, the principle by which I'm going to get results is faith. What is faith? God has said it is final. That's why we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said, do you know why you operate like that? He said, take the word. That puts your mind, let me use that expression, at rest. Then while you are at rest, the word of God is living and active. What it means is this. The word of God knows when to catch Sarah so that she will conceive. You don't have to know it. Are you getting the point I'm making? That listen, If there is one branch of a tree somewhere that contains one potent natural substance that will cause her to become 50 years younger instantly, I will not tell you. But one day I will stir up the appetite of Sarah, and she will go out by the way and just grab a branch without ever knowing, and will chew on it to clean her teeth and throw it away. What's happening? Grace and truth is being realized through Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, God never said, try. He said, only believe. Do you understand my point? That is, yes, they will give you the arguments on why Sarah should never conceive. He said, after hearing the argument, he said, I have one other argument. So what's the argument? God says she will. But how will it come to pass? I have no idea. Is she jogging yet? Is he relevant? Is he eating the correct hormones? I don't know anything about it. But one thing I know for sure is that she will conceive. How do you know? The person who made Sarah, who made me, who called me from my father's land and made me prosperous here, said she will conceive. Do you understand the point I'm making? So Paul said, that is the way it works. He said, if this is the way it works, it doesn't make sense for you, therefore, to put your energy elsewhere. He said, therefore, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You know, we were sharing earlier. I said, this is the way the word of God works. We were reading here from Hebrews chapter 4. He said, the word of God is living. Let me use the word. When it says living, we don't mean, like we said, this is a living church, which means we are jumping up and down. No, that's not what we mean. When it says the word of God is alive, it means the way you got up in the morning and realized that you had an appointment, so you went to your wardrobe and chose the appropriate dress to wear, and you went to the bathroom and had a bath. You used your makeup in a particular fashion, and you dressed up because you had an appointment, let's say, with the marketing manager of one of these big telecommunication companies. You could reason. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You could make decisions. You know why? Because you are alive. Is that in the same manner the word of God is? That if God says to Mary, you will bear a child though you don't know any man, that the world can wake up in the morning and say, okay, now that Mary has to bear a child without knowing any man, what do we do? And by itself, do that thing on Mary's behalf. That the world knows that Mary is going to deliver at an odd time when there is no, what do you call it? No accommodation, no maternity, no midwife. Therefore, we shall arrange a particular manger, make sure that there's no trouble there that night. The word will go. And the Bible said that the angels respond to the voice of his word. That is, the word of God has a voice. Do you get the point I'm making? So the angels will orchestrate events and just be waiting. When they are going around all the inns looking for where to lodge, the angels will say, you won't find space there. Here we are waiting. And wherever it is that God has said we should wait, that is a place of your strength. Just come there and you will never have an obstetric problem. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, the word of God is that alive and active, able to reason. That is, the problem it has is when you want to help it, you say, look, me and you, we don't think on the same level. We want to take you to a place big. I know what to do to get there, but you think that, okay, hey, now let's go and see the MD of Nigeria Breweries. Then after that, we'll go and see the GM of MTN. Maybe we'll go and see the MD of First Bank. He said, you see, you need men. I don't. I know what to do to produce results in your life. Listen, that's the meaning of the word. The word is alive and active. Do you get the point I'm making? So we started by saying, by reading from Paul, Acts chapter 20. Paul said, this is the way it works. There is an inheritance. You know, earlier on, I used marriage as an example. That marriage has been like this in your society. Let me show you what God has created as your inheritance in that area. He said, how do I get there? Do I need 200 questions to ask to get the right man? He said, you don't need it. Do you believe what I have said? He said, yes. That's where I'm going to. That is, all God ever said is believe what I have told you. Listen to me. The word of God will not teach you steps to take. It will be the steps of your life. Let me say that again. That is, he won't say, go and look for a shop. One day, it will impose a shop upon you. Listen to me about Joseph. He said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now listen to this. Until the time that his word came to pass, some Bible says, but notice this. Joseph is our best example. Did you notice that Joseph never tried to get to the throne of Egypt? It was far beyond what he could ask or even imagine. Get what I'm saying? The best Joseph could have asked for is to be exonerated from the alleged attempted rape that he was in prison for and to be returned back to his father's land. But the word of God is living and active. The word tried him, and then the word came to pass. That is, the word came to certain places and caused some things to happen. Do you understand what I'm going to say? The word went and brought a man to prison beside Joseph. The word went and released that man. The word went and closed that man's memory that he did not remember to exonerate Joseph. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. Then that word went into the head of Pharaoh and gave him a vision. And that word confused everybody else. They couldn't interpret the vision. And that word reminded that man and said, remember that man that helped you? He said, yay! How did I forget all this? Why? He said, God forgive me. It was a mistake. He said, Pharaoh, while I was in jail, there was one young man. Then the word entered the heart of the king and he sent forth Joseph and loosed him and made him ruler in Egypt. Listen, he couldn't have tried. Believe me, all your plans for your life are inferior. What's that? My God. All the plans for your life, just pay attention to me, they are inferior to what God wants to do in your life. That is why you must never break your head trying to follow one plan to the end. If it doesn't work, ignore it. Listen, one of the things God has helped me to learn in life is how to take a loss. That is, I invest money in this business, it doesn't move forward. After some time, he said, but you have lost half a million naira. You know what the prophet said? God is able to give you double that one back. Just kiss the money, bye-bye. Say, I'll see you when you have been doubled from somewhere else. I'm not following you again. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, the word has power. It is taking you to a place far beyond your imagination. No, let us assume that Joseph was not in prison and he had a GSM phone. You know, he will keep calling that man. Oga, you know our last discussion now. You are not a good man. You have forgotten me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Joseph will have kept on trying until the man will tell him something. Are you stupid? Will you stop calling me? Then he will get angry. No, but not Joseph. Joseph knew God too much. Do you get my point? That is, you need the spirit of Joseph to recognize that what God wants to do in you is far beyond what you can imagine. You know, I keep on giving this husband and wife as an example. The man was a prisoner. Prisoners don't pray about life partner. Say, God, I'm in jail here. The woman you have prepared for me, reveal her. The guy's in jail. Wife? No. Prisoners don't pray about such things. No, the best is that God do. I hope they don't bring this case up again and behead me. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now that they are for, you know, I'm still awaiting trial. No, the guy was awaiting trial, I guess. Please, during trial, may they not behead me. That is the best prayer point. God, you know I'm a faithful man. No, you will exonerate me. You will show other one that just. The angel said, when we finish, if you want Mrs. Potiphar, you will do like this. And they will bundle her to your house. Yet they said, now you attempt that one in open, broad daylight. You will do wedding with Mrs. Potiphar and hang Mr. Potiphar after if you like, and nothing will happen. So, you understand that's where we are going? So all this your shouting and screaming, We can't answer you. You want to cut short your destiny. We won't cooperate with that. We are servants of God. We can't cooperate with you on that. Do you get the point I'm making? So Paul said, that is what God wants to do. Listen, church. He said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. He said that word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, which was the instrument of war. That even if people rose up against you, I will fight them and cut them to pieces. He said, my name is the word of God. Do you get my point? That's why I'm titling the message, the word of his grace. What is grace? God's power working on behalf of the man who has believed. Grace is not unmerited favor. God never said that in the Bible. I don't know where we got it from. That's English definition. Grace is this. I am what I am by the grace of God. You know what it means? That is, I'm not that strong. But when you see me do things, you will understand that something is working on my behalf that is bigger than me. That is grace. You know, one day, I heard, you know, the word of God is powerful. I was listening to a message in the car. I had the earphones on my head. And the man of God read a story that we know so much. The story of Samson. Do you know the interesting thing? As soon as he finished reading the story, an understanding came to me that Samson was not muscular. Have you ever thought about it? You know, in your head, you assume that Samson is Lihani. You know Lihani? 8 times Mr. Olympia. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Olympia is like, you know, you do Miss World. But for you to contest in Mr. Olympia, you must have won Mr. Universe. The contestants in Mr. Olympia are former Mr. Universes. So it's a contest of the best of the best. Lehani has won it 8 times. So you assume that this man must have been like Lehani. I've told you before, I used to think David was also strong. That David was tall and, you know, because he was a warrior. Do you know, as soon as I finished thinking that thought, I said, Samson must have been an ordinary fellow. That you look at him, there wouldn't have been any comeliness with which you would have desired his muscles. Nothing. He said, how do I know? If it was not like that, why would they be asking, where is the secret of your strength? It would have been obvious. No, for them to be ganging up to ask, how come? It's obvious it was not on his body. Look, Goliath did not need anybody to ask what the secret of his strength. You could see his height. But when David collected the sling and knocked down a giant, they came to David and said, what is going on? And David said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you get results that are far beyond you, that is a working of grace. Do you understand my point? Like I said, you know, remember this illustration we used before? You go for a job, you apply for a job, the president has a candidate. Are you getting my point? The MD has a candidate. All the big men have candidates, yet you come physically with nobody behind you. You get the job, everybody else fails. They will call you and say, how did you do it? Then you will say, I am what I am by the working of the power of God. That was the Igilenyogba, my own. You know, oh God. Some expressions are only found in Yoruba language. I'm sorry. Igilenyogba is Yoruba word for like the pillar behind the fence. That is why the fence will not fall down with Hurricane Katrina. It won't come down. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You are following my point? That is, when Samson was destroying and destroying, it was obvious that there was nothing on him. That was why men came asking, what is the secret of his strength? It definitely could not have been his muscles. If he was a giant, nobody would ask. But they have seen this guy again and again. At the end of the day, they will look like, is this this fellow that troubled Israel? You know, that kind of thing. It is this man. It is this man. Then they will say, no, it is not possible. I mean, when David went to one of the palace of the Philistine kings and was misbehaving, the man looked and said, this one is a madman. Take him out of my sight. That is, looking at him, the guy couldn't have been a warrior. I hope you are getting my point. Don't forget that when Goliath saw David, he said, what is this fine boy doing here? No, that was the statement. which was shortly after he was anointed. And when he came in, don't forget that by the time Samuel had gone from Eliab, Abinadab, Shammai, all those guys down to the end, he had given up. He was frustrated. Even David's father didn't think him worthy of being called to the front of Samuel. Why? They had to ask him, "Are these all your sons?" They said, "Bring all your sons to the sacrifice." He didn't call David. Why? In his own heart, David, he didn't qualify to be king. And I personally believe me, I am convinced he was not born of the same mother as the rest of those boys. And his father never married his mother. That I am convinced of. I am convinced of it. I am sure. That is, there was no reason why we should call him to the sacrifice. Yet the guy came, and the Bible said he was a fine boy. You know, use it in modern day English, that the guy was handsome, no pimples. Check out his hair, you know. The guy was just fine. What? Not him. The heaviest thing he could carry was what? A staff and a, you know, catapult. That's, look, you see, when we use those expressions, we think those things are big. It was catapult. Rubber on a white ship. I mean, when they put the armor of Saul on him, the guy collapsed under the weight. There was nothing on him. What am I saying? The word, the grace working on his behalf, went out to Goliath and killed Goliath. Men, Joab and his brothers, men bigger than him, faster than him, who were more skilled in battle, they came and bowed before him. Get what I'm trying to say? All the strong men in Israel departed from Saul's camp and said, "David, you are the one that God has chosen." That is grace. Grace is not unmerited favor. It means that when God has spoken in your direction and all you have done is believed, then the word will get up and start stirring up events around you to bring God's promise to pass, that inheritance. He said, when that happens, they will say, "How come?" You say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That is, the power of God working towards me did not prove vain. Yet, he said, "I labor and got more result than everybody else. But it wasn't me. It was the power of God working with me." Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? What does that mean? That is, there is no circumstance, no history that is strong enough to frustrate the world. It's not your strength. That God said, "I will do it." So he said, "Okay, go ahead and do it. I'm waiting." Say, "Don't go anywhere." I said, "I don't plan to go anywhere. I'm too tired to go anywhere anyway." Then when it has been done, it is conferred upon you. You understand what it meant when they said, "More than conqueror." That is, I don't have to go there. Conquerors go to fight. Me, I don't have time to go there. The victory is won and deposited on me. So I'm greater than him. More than a conqueror. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Listen, that's the way the word of God works. So Paul said, "For that reason, what should you do? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." That is, I recommend.